Gerber's having fun. I mean, this is a fun story.
The problem is, I'm not having fun.
Welcome back to Podcast X. I'm your host, Trenchcoat Mafia, and with me this time around is...
Timmy Thune in the house. Hey, ready?
Where the hell have you been?
I died.
Oh, okay. And you came to...
I got better.
You're not a zombie? You're not going to eat my brains?
No. I just... What happened was they went back in the time machine and brought me back just so I could look over this prison where they hold all the bad guys in the world. And I don't know why they could have helped me. They could have had anybody, could hire any live person to guard this prison in the negative zone. But they brought me back to look after this prison in the negative zone.
That is an absolutely horrible plot. And I'm sure no actual comic book writer would ever come up with something that lame except, oh, that's right, they did. Hey, wait, does that mean you're a Skrull too, like Captain Marvel?
Actually, no. Okay, you found me out, but what does it matter if I'm the real Timmy Thune or if I'm a Skrull, okay? I got the same DNA code. I've learned his sense of humor. I mean, does it really matter if I'm a Skrull?
Well, I just want to go on record, actually. I support the Skrull invasion.
You do? Oh.
Yeah, I think it's about time, like, some alien race came in and, like, took over. I mean, we haven't done the best job handling this planet, so, yeah, let's give the Skrulls a chance.
All right. Just like that song that you played on the other always show, We Make Good Pets.
Yeah. That's that's right, because we haven't heard from you on PCX since, like, the summer. Damn.
Yeah, it was the summer of Doom. That's why Timmy Thune was killed, because they thought I was on that show too much.
Yeah, I think, like, Trekkie and Starhawk and Vixen and Courtney all got together. And oh, by the way, we're recording this in, I don't know what month is this, April. And if it turns out that Captain Marvel is not really a Skrull after all, then forget I just said any of that. I'm just going off of Secret Invasion issue 1. Okay. We're not reading Secret Invasion, though, because that sucked. We're reading... go ahead.
Iron Man, right? The Invincible Iron Man.
Yeah, we're reading something much more entertaining. Iron Man Volume 1, Issue 56. Now you said that,
all right, okay. Go ahead. 56. Oh, you said it was more entertaining. I thought you hated Tony Stark and Iron Man.
I do. But I'm looking at him on the cover in the corner, and he's like all contorted and twisted around. And I'm like...
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, clearly, he's dancing. And I'm like, okay, you know, if he has enough of a sense of humor about himself that, you know, he could be dancing on the cover of his comic, more power to him.
He's doing a WAP.
I don't know.
Yeah, why do they always have that? We got to have these people in a certain pose. Just have them stand in there normal. Anyway.
I don't. Maybe because if they were, I don't know. I got nothing.
There's a better drawing at the bottom, though. Well,
yeah.
He's knocked the hell out.
That's why it's better.
And he's not saying anything. He's hurt. He's dazed. And standing above him is the bad guy of the issue, Fangor.
Yeah,
he's saying,
good.
Yeah, what about him?
Oh no, I was going to say, yeah, Fangor's this like rock dude, and yet he's wearing purple underwear for no reason. But okay.
Is the comic code in the corner? He got to be wearing underwear. He can't be out there naked with his stone ding-a-ling hanging out.
You know, Fin Fang Foom always wore the purple underpants, and I'm just thinking, what's up with that? The Hulk had purple pants, Fin Fang Foom and Fangor have the purple underwear. What the fuck?
Where do they shop? That's what I want to know.
Can you imagine, like, a store for, like, monsters, and all these monsters are just walking in the aisles, they got shopping carts, and they're full of, like, purple underwear. Word balloons.
That's all they make. Okay. He's like one guy, and all he makes for he make giant clothes, but the only thing he ever made was purple underwear because he don't have enough like other materials. He just got all this purple material. Everything he makes is purple pants, purple underwear.
Now, see, that actually makes sense. Because, yeah, he would use up all the fabric for these giant monsters just on the underwear and then have nothing left for shirts.
And that's all, like, fat people, like, them big fat people, all you see, sometimes they just wear, like, big T-shirts because that's all they can fit. And that's why all the underwear, that's all some people make for some reason, like Walmart, Woolworth, whatever. So that's what the giants, they go, I could find are these purple pants, that, you know, these giant purple pants this guy made back in the day. So that's why they all wear purple pants. They can't find anything in there. Like fat women, they always complain. Fat ladies, they don't never make nothing in our style. They always make these just big dresses. They don't make nothing stylish for big ladies.
Yeah, that's because them fat bitches don't realize they're not supposed to be so fucking fat. The clothing makers are trying to, like, send them a message. Stylish? No. What the fuck? That's like putting lipstick on a pig.
The most stylish you could be is to be not 300 pounds. If you was, like, 125 or 105, even better, that's even more stylish than being big with Louis Vuitton.
Maybe one day fat bitches will get the message. I was going to say this cover has word balloons, and I miss these.
Yes. Pitiful mortal, how could you expect to defeat me when I am all the evils of mankind in a single destructive entity?
You know, that's go ahead.
He got a lamppost in his hand. That's all I was going to say. Go ahead.
The idea of all the evils of man in a single being is a good one. And they do absolutely not a goddamn thing with it in this comic.
But they don't get a chance because Iron Man overcomes by the end. But yeah. What I want to know is why there's a whole bunch of people, running from Fangor. But what I want to do, one of them is running. The other one is shaking his fist at Fangor like he's going to do something. And somebody else is running past a car. Now, what is up with this car? The car, the hood is open like it. And, like, Fangor hit it in the hood, like, bust open. And then, there's, I guess, is that fire coming out? I don't know.
I suppose. but yeah, what you don't see is right after this when Fangor steps on the dude who's shaking his fist at him. And you saw a lot of Iron Man. See, Iron Man was a very different character in the 70s. You saw a lot of covers. If you just go to some website and scroll through the Iron Man covers in the 70s, he was always like being portrayed as like beaten and just like this cover, like on the ropes, and I don't know, he doesn't seem too invincible to me. Also corny is the rivets in the logo.
I like that. That was the classic in the 70s. That's the thing, iron, the rivets in those girders and buildings and stuff like that. Hey.
I do miss these prices, though, because there you go, 20 cents.
Yeah, and if the crap that this comic book was, you know, if you ask $3 for this crap, no, it's not worth it. Okay, and most of the comics, they are as good as this issue. And this is your boy wrote this. What's up with that?
I have no explanation. Yeah, Steve Gerber is definitely or was my favorite comics writer, and he wrote this. And
no excuse.
Maybe he has no respect for the Iron Man character.
Then don't write it. Oh my God, I read this. I'm like, what the fuck? At least have a message or something like he used to have. What?
Well, this is very early work by Gerber. I mean, this is before Howard the Duck and all that. In fact, Jim Starlin drew it, and except for certain points in it, you wouldn't even know. Like, both these guys were just getting started.
Yeah, Jim Starlin, this doesn't look like his work, Dreadstar, or whatever else he did. His space, he's the one who does the space epics, right?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, apparently...
Don't look nothing like...
No. This is his very much his early work. In fact, I don't know how you say his name. Thanos. We apparently just missed an appearance by him. He was apparently in the issue right before this. So I'm looking at the splash page, and I shit you not, listeners, Iron Man is in the street roller skating.
Yeah, not even rollerblades, roller skates alongside a car. Okay, and I want this. Okay, first of all, you got jetpacks on your feet. You can fly in outer space, go underwater. You got hydro suits. You can fly at speeds up to 300 miles an hour, probably faster jet speed. And the best you can come up with as an alternative to that is roller skates on your feet. This is the lamest 70s bullshit. This is up there with bat shark repellent that Batman had, you know, in the TV series.
I like that. That was the movie, right? Remember when he had the bomb and he couldn't get rid of it no matter where he goes to throw it?
Oh, that's the worst. He was running on a pier with a bomb. It should have blew up in his face. That was horrible. And this roller skates here, this whatever Steve Gerber came up with is the corniest shit. You know, I was reading in a Wizard, your favorite magazine.
No, that's not true. No, go ahead.
They had the worst gadgets, you know, of comic book heroes, you know, in history or whatever. And I can't remember any of the other ones, but one of them was these roller skates. It made the worst superhero gadgets of all time. Iron Man's roller skates. What do you got to say for that?
I don't know if you'd consider a car to be a gadget, but I would submit the Spider-Mobile.
That may have been up there. And while we're submitting, I want to submit that plane that Superman used to fly in that had fists on the outside.
I never knew about this. Superman had a plane?
Yeah, it wasn't a plane. It was those things that look like the undersea probes in like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, one of those things. And it had hands that reached out that can grab things like kryptonite and protect Superman. It was a toy first, and then they put it in Action Comics.
Oh, what a surprise that it was a toy first.
I'm sorry, I know.
Hey, wait a minute. The Rocket Racer has, like, rollers. Oh, no, he has a skateboard. That's right. Fuck. Okay, I got nothing. Yeah. I was going to say a prominent supervillain, but yeah, that's... Oh, well.
I want to submit Rocket Racer... And also the former leader of New Warriors. I want to submit them as the most ridiculous gadgets, too. I know they ain't gadgets, but they should be destroyed along with these roller skates.
They actually brought Rocket Racer back in a miniseries called MODOK 11.
Oh, I heard. Oh, and I wanted to get that, too. Did you read it?
I read the first couple issues. It was surprisingly good.
It looked good. But weren't they like a bunch of B-list villains?
Yes. I like the B-list characters. Yeah, it was like a bunch of loser villains, and they're working for MODOK. And I'm like, okay, I can get with this. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. As far as like these skateboard, Night Thrasher. Yeah, I was trying to think of who the new Warriors guy was, but in X-Statics or X-Force, whatever the fuck it was called at the time, there was a character called, I think, El Guapo, and he traveled around on a sentient skateboard that did his bidding.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then he lost his legs, and he still has the skateboard?
Well, you didn't have no superhero running around. Well, not running around. A superhero without legs?
Well, I mean, he had transport. I mean, he could still ride the skateboard on his stumps.
He was sitting on his ass on a skateboard like Eddie Murphy in that movie, Trading Places. Not really. I hope not really. I hope you're making this all up.
No. I'm actually not making this up.
He was one of the X people, so they made him cybernetic legs, right?
No, he had no cybernetic legs, just the stumps. On the skateboard.
Okay, we got to move on. I can't.
I like Peter Milligan's X-Force/Ecstatics, and everybody should go read those. But back to Iron Man. I don't know. The roller skates don't bother me. He's thinking that his foot jets weren't designed for long-distance travel, which is probably the first time that's ever been mentioned or has been true.
That's bullshit. That's what I get. That's okay, Steve Gerber, whatever you say. Then he's letting his foot jets recharge while he's roller skating, you know, on these cheap transport. But he there's got to be something. This is a thing called what about backup jets? What about something other than skates?
Well,
and then go ahead.
At this point, his armor is still only powered by transistors. So it's not advanced to where it is now, where he probably has all kinds of backup things. He does mention that they're, quote, jet-assisted roller skates, so there you go. He can skate faster than anybody else.
And this guy says, this guy in the car next to him says, never mind the UN, look at this. Oh, so the UN, what's that about? Maybe I should have read this. Is that supposed to be a joke or something with it? I forget it.
I don't even know.
Gotta love that Steve Gerber.
Actually, yeah, because you know what? He's giving us a whimsical Iron Man who has no sense of embarrassment about being seen in public roller skating in his armor in the middle of the street.
The vibrating pavement underfoot. The whoosh as I pass cars. The double takes I get makes me feel like a kid again. A big iron-shelled kid.
So see, there you go. He's enjoying life. Oh, I guess that's another car, because I was going to say, hey, what happened to Bernice that he was talking to, the guy in the car? I forgot. I forgot Iron Man skates are jet-propelled.
But it's yet the same color car and the same model. They didn't have any of the colors in the comic.
I guess not. No, green was big in the 70s, like the horrible green shag carpeting that was around, and like the sickly green refrigerators, and...
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I didn't live in that house. I'm glad we had a lot of browns. So we didn't have browns and orange, but, oh, God, the 70s. And then Iron Man, he makes a reference to Thanos the Titan that he fought last issue, has a nice little editor's note. They need to bring those back.
Yes.
Once again. And he's walking through the street. Yeah, this is the 70s. Got people on bell bottoms walking past. But what is this? He goes up to... Is that the Avengers mansion that he goes up to?
Yes. Yes, it is. I just wanted to mention this caption here. Zipping through midtown traffic like a derby star, Iron Man...
Roller derbies was big in the 70s. That's why he put this.
Okay. I was, I was thinking, was skating big or something? And I should have assumed that it was. Yeah, okay. That explains it.
Every weekend, you didn't have roller skating rinks where every weekend people went to the roller skating rink and hang out in the 70s?
Now that you mention it, what I do remember is the, is it called roller derby? That semi-sport with, like, girls on skates and they punch each other?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I remember that being on TV, like, on Saturdays or whatever, but I would, like, change the channel and watch cartoons instead. So.
Okay, and then the guy that answers the door is Jasper, or not Jasper, who is that? What is Jarvis, the butler for the Avengers? And he, I don't know, he don't look like he looks nowadays. He looks like a meteor, I guess. Nowadays, he's more thin, gaunt. This just don't look like the Jarvis I know.
Well, this fatter Jarvis had a problem finding, like, shirts and stuff in his size because, again, they were only making the underwear in that size. So, yeah, he probably slimmed down a bit. I wonder if he was a Skrull even then, speaking of Jarvis.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask that, too. If he was, I mean, does it say for sure that he is a Skrull in that?
It's possible he's not, but they really didn't leave a lot of room for doubt in Jarvis's case. Because Jarvis does look like he looks evil here. He's like, Iron Man! And he's thinking,
he does.
He's thinking, you interrupted my evil scheming or whatever.
And yeah, and I was thinking that too. I was thinking, the first time I saw him, I thought it was like Obadiah Stane or one of the bad guys from Iron Man. I said, this is a bad guy. Then he said, Jarvis. I was like, Jarvis? This is a Jim Starlin Jarvis. He drew him looking like Thanos and one of his space bad guys. Dane the Jarvis I don't want to love. But anyway.
I wanted to point out what an ass Iron Man is even then, because he's actually saying, I wanted to tell the others about the improvements I made in my armor.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to brag. What the fuck?
And he said the Avengers need to know about the Destroyer and the Titans. Anyway, he says, I'll be in Tony Stark's private quarters. So even at this time, Jarvis didn't know that Iron Man and Tony Stark was one and the same.
And I miss that. I miss secret identities. I mean, it's just, yes, this is the way it's supposed to be. Like, at this point in time, I think Thor is the only guy who knows that Tony is Iron Man.
But what are you talking about? They're the Avengers. They've worked together for years. Why shouldn't they know each other's identities, including Jarvis?
It's just a bad idea. Like, somebody could get a hold of Tony Stark and torture him, and he could, like, give up all the other Avengers. Like, look what the Hood did with Tigra. She gave up the other Avengers.
I gotta read that just to be sure that she really did that.
That was so. She did, but I'm admitting that was way out of character for her, unless she is also a Skrull. I have no idea.
Thank you. They all got two big characters to, like, give up the other person. And I'm thinking if they know each other's secret identities, they have somebody to talk to. And the other thing is they can cover for each other if something happens. But. Come on, you can't have keeping secrets and be on a super team like this.
I don't know. I just like it better. I hate these days. Every superhero's secret ID isn't. It's public, and that annoys me.
Spider-Man is back to status quo, ain't he?
Well, the secret ID thing is the only good thing about that whole horrible reboot, I'll call it. Because he never should have, and he never would have unmasked in the first place, but still.
But being a superhero ain't about secret identities. It's supposed to be all about saving the public and the adventures they go on, helping people.
Also, you have to protect your loved ones. I mean, notice that Aunt May got shot once Peter went public.
Whatever, yeah, like she was never in danger ever before that. But
I wish they would have kept her dead. When it seemed she had died the first time, like in 1979 or 1980. And even that turned out to be a trick or whatever. It's like, kill her! She's had a good run, it's over.
Yeah, she's the girl lady's in the 90s, it seemed like. That's what it make her look like, anyway. As a matter of fact, she looks like the character Rasputin here. She looks like him. So just let the homegirl go out, with some dignity.
It's funny instead of art. Different artists draw her varying ages, because sometimes she really does look like a corpse. It's true.
And more lately, like when the time when she found out that Spider-Man, that Peter Parker Spider-Man, around that time, she looked more in her 50s. You know, sometimes they try to make her look hip, you know, kind of youngish hip.
Well, yeah, Mark Bagley always drew her in Ultimate Spider-Man looking like maybe she's in her 50s or so. But Professor X, same thing. Some artists will draw him looking relatively young, and others will make him look like, what is he, 90?
I never seen him look too old before. I always seen him looking like he's in his late 40s or something like that, in my opinion.
I forget the artist.
Lately they done it because of whatchamacallit, because Patrick Stewart played him, and I see people trying to make him look like Patrick Stewart in the Ultimates and recently in the regular universe. Was it the Illuminati, those guys? When I see him in those books, they try to make him look like Patrick Stewart and in his 60s or something. It's like, man, what?
There was one guy during Grant Morrison's X-Men run that drew Professor X looking really decrepit, and he did not look like Patrick Stewart. He just looked old. Which he should. I mean, he was around in World War II as an adult, right?
What? No, that's Magneto. Well, they are supposed to be contemporaries, I guess.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And speaking of that, look at Magneto. His ass is all in shape.
No, he has an excuse because this, like, super mutant devolved him into, like, being an infant. And then, like, later, like, it wore off or whatever the hell that mutant did to him. And he snapped back to a younger age than he originally was.
Oh, that's good for him.
At least that's an excuse. And even Professor X has an excuse because, remember, the Brood took him over and he turned into one of them. And they later put his brain out of the Brood and into a clone body. I mean, why would the Shi'ar let his clone body age to be, like, you know, 60 or whatever?
That's true. Again, good for him. But poor guy, he's always crippled in a chair. Even if he gets cured, something else happens.
It's true. And that's always funny.
That's not funny. He's like, can I get out of this goddamn chair?
No, because he's meant to be in a damn wheelchair.
And back at Justice League headquarters.
I don't know how old I was, but it was a 65 pickup. I was lying on the ground.
So Tony Stark, this is when he was all cocky and stuff. He said, I'll be in Tony Stark quarters if I'm needed. If I'm needed. There's a joke. Will there ever come a time when Iron Man isn't needed? Huh, I wish. You asshole. See, that's what you needed. He needed that alcoholism just to bring him down a couple of pegs. So
I have to agree with that. Yeah. And speaking of how Professor X always winds back up in the chair, yeah, he was over the alcoholism thing. Denny O'Neill comes on the book, and he pretty much does the same story all over again, only even more so.
Wait, I'm sorry. After Denny O'Neill, who rebooted that story? Who brought it back?
Well, no, he was the one who brought it back. Michelini, David Michelini did it the first time. And
okay.
Denny O'Neill, I think he might have been the one who brought in Obadiah Stane and all that stuff. And
I would say that's corny, but then people do have relapses, and it's kind of realistic.
I guess, but see, I could deal with this Tony Stark, but he's so much worse now. Like, he really thinks he's like, you know, I am the god of superheroes, which is why Thor had to set him straight.
He really got his ass kicked in that combo. He beat his ass. But, okay, so he's looking over his, I guess he damaged some of his weapons fighting Thanos. And then there are times when this feather light armor seems very heavy. Okay, I thought he was saying heavy like a 70s term, but I guess he's using it in the normal sense. And it's all gravitas. It's like, shut up, Iron Man. It's very heavy. What about the other superheroes? Okay, maybe if you tell your identities to the other superheroes, you'll have something to talk about, and y'all could talk it over, and it won't be so heavy. Okay. It says, speaking of heavy, check out the scene a few... Now, this is 70s. Check out the scene a few blocks away in Central Park, and this guy with a staff is talking about infidels, the day of nightfall, and how he's going to summon demons with his little enchanted stick. His name is Rasputin.
And
he says,
he looks like the Crypt Keeper. He really does. That's oof.
And everybody's just laughing at him. Oh, got Jack T. Chick's character in here. Haw!
No. Because Jack T. Chick's characters always say, haw, haw.
I don't savvy what you're spouting, sputin. Okay.
Sinners! I love his overdramatic speechifying here. Laugh while ye may. Soon the wrath of shunned Rasputin will fall on ye. Hey,
did
what's
somebody
up with this old dude in the background with just the suspenders and the overalls?
Oh, what the fuck is that? I ain't even fucking noticed. There's a bunch of people in the park for the listeners. Look like normal people listening to Rasputin laughing at him. And there's a guy in the back, look like he's from Deliverance, and all he's wearing is overalls, and he got the beard, he's got the Abraham Lincoln beard. What the fuck is that? What the fuck? I want to know what that's about, because he don't show up nowhere else in the comic book.
Jim Starlin having fun.
Oh, God. And this guy is just spouting his crap, and another guy dumps his drink in over Rasputin's head. And somebody else throws an ice cream cone at him.
Okay, you know what? This is why Steve Gerber is great. In no other comic book will you see someone throw an ice cream cone at someone's head.
I was thinking the opposite reason, but go ahead. Look, he's not.
No, it's brilliant, because that would never happen, because an ice cream cone is not aerodynamic.
Okay.
Throw it, the ice cream is going to pull the cone straight down. It's not going to travel. But yeah, it hits him in his bald head, and it goes splat.
And they like, get lost, Mac, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I didn't get that when I read it. I was just like, this Rasputin guy, I don't know what he's about. But Iron Man is, Tony Stark is putting on a shirt. Why is Tony Stark wearing Ascot? That is the gayest thing.
I was going to mention that. He looks,
even in the 70s, that's gay.
He looks like Fred from Scooby-Doo here.
I gotta get out of here. I gotta get some air. He dresses as Tony Stark and, you know, takes a walk. She says you're gonna go to the park where Rasputin's at, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And there. Oh, God.
Well, he got a briefcase and he's got his armor. That's a small briefcase for all that armor, supposedly, that he's got.
It like flattens out somehow. Don't ask me how, but it does.
And then, he said, I always got my armor as if I'm expecting an earth-shattering emergency every time I leave the house, because the world's on my shoulder. See, this is the type of attitude that gets him thinking that he has to, you know, that's why I'm thinking is in line with his character to be the Civil War guy, the guy who's, or what you call the guy who's in charge of registration, because he thinks everything got a weight on his shoulder. He's always think he's the boss. He's a industrialist, so he's, you know, he's got to take control of the situation, type of thing.
Well, he's not
perfect
sense. He's not as smart as Reed Richards, so why shouldn't Reed be in charge?
Because Reed doesn't have that kind of... First of all, Reed is like the second guy after him who's been in charge of this registration, but Reed ain't that... Reed was never any kind of fascist person. He just had... as good guy,
hello?
Kind of little fascism. In,
oh,
can you hear?
I can hear you now. There was just some Skype hiss. Okay. The last thing I heard you say was that Reed was never a fascist.
Yeah, exactly. But Tony Stark, if you are a billionaire industrialist, you got to have some kind of little bit of fascism anywhere. The company runs on your say, so you know you are a bossy. You got to be bossy. So it makes sense that he thinks he's got to run and control everything. Reed Richards never thought he had to control everything, you know, outside of his Freedom's Plaza Tower or whatever. So this is totally in character, in line with the character Tony Stark, in my opinion, for him to natural progression to be this registration guy, big brother type of guy. And
I would say to a point, but the monster they've made him into now is...
He's not a monster. Come on. He's just a whole boss, just like the boss of your company. He ain't Hitler. He didn't kill nobody.
No,
he kind of is.
I mean, he got Captain America killed. He got Aunt May.
He didn't
shot.
Do it. Wait, hold on. You know he didn't. That was the Red Skull, whoever across that Skull and Bones guy, whoever he was.
But all,
he,
if,
they
if,
shot him.
If all... Ooh, hey, did you read that issue, by the way?
No, the one that Captain America was killed in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read it.
Because it was cool that, like, they brainwashed his girlfriend into actually firing the kill shot.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I guess it was. Yeah.
But if not for Civil War, that never happens.
Yes, it was. Anyway, the character, Brubaker was going to kill his character off anyway. But it does. But I'm saying Tony Stark, the character, couldn't have foreseen what was going to happen.
Okay.
So,
if
you're trying to blame, you're trying to make this character of Iron Man an evil character. It's not. It's just another superhero.
Now, see, you used to think he was evil, and you've had a change of heart.
I didn't say he was evil. I didn't say the character was evil. He's a superhero character. I'm saying there's got to be different characters. They can't all be squared.
Okay, but if you were Tony Stark, would you hire, like, insane serial killers as your, like, you know, enforcement squad?
Okay, nothing's perfect. No form of government, no form of law enforcement is perfect. They got cops on the street who are bad cops, and they find out later.
Okay,
and they fire them.
This guy signs Norman Osborn's paychecks.
But there was no proof that Norman Osborn was really the Green Goblin.
See, even you're laughing.
But anyway, come on, leave Tony Stark character alone. He's a good character. I don't see why people say they have to hate this character now just because he's in charge of the registration. He's a good character.
Because of Tony Stark, Jack Flagg is now pissing into a bag.
Well, if he had just stopped being an a-hole and registered, he wasn't even doing much anyway. He could have just registered. If he really wanted to work as a superhero, just register, idiot. And what? And Tony Stark didn't pull the trigger. It was the Thunderbolts. He had no idea that the Thunderbolts are those kind of...
Yeah, I know. When he hired Bullseye and Venom and Green Goblin, he had no idea these guys were loose cannons.
He doesn't micromanage. He's not there on that level. Come on, quit trying to blame the Tony
Stark
character.
In the real world, if he hired Charles Manson and Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, come on.
Okay, that's the only thing you got on Tony Stark is the...
No, I got more. I mean, in X-Men, he was telling Cyclops that he wants to register the mutants. And he's like, okay, so now you want to just register people for having been born? And Scott is like, is that who you are now? And Tony just looked at him because, yeah, that's who and what he is now. Tony is Hitler.
He's not Hitler. He had to register those people just because they got hand. They got the equivalent of bombs in their body. Okay, they could
not all of them. What the fuck is the Beast gonna do? Come on.
That is one of the most dangerous characters. Do you think that he's a harmless character?
No, I think he's not the equivalent of a bomb.
No, but he can really rob a bank and get away. Nobody
can
stop him.
So can a guy with a gun.
Anyway, he could hurt lots of people just by, you know, he can kick somebody and just shatter their skull. He's a very powerful character.
So can a guy who studies kung fu.
No, not as powerful as somebody like the Beast. So if you got that much power in you,
Would you register Shang-Chi?
Yeah, he's a superhero. Hey, if you got to register your
quack. Is he a superhero? He doesn't have powers.
Hey, he's got the he's bigger and better than an average kung fu fighter. So anybody who's calling themselves fighting crime, they need to register. Okay. Howard the Duck had to register for his quack fu.
And that is fucking crazy.
All right. So, Tony Stark walking in the park and he comes across. He's like, "What the hell is this?" There's going to be an unveiling of an art piece by an artist called Fivo Fuvnik. and I had to say that name, and I have something to say about him later when they get into him, when we get there. But he's like the key commissioner. Oh, the commissioner is going to announce it. It's going to be a big thing to unveil this big piece of art by Fivo. Okay, and Tony Stark looking as gay as ever.
The mustache and the ascot, yeah. Yeah, look at him.
It ain't. And Rasputin is there, and he's demanding. What is he demanding?
I demand that statue remain covered, or else. And the guy, the guy who's going, he's like, or else what? The sky will fall. Go on, beat it. And he just pushes him down into a TV camera.
Whew. And he raises that stick of his, and I guess he hits the camera equipment. This is stupid to me. His stick conducts electricity from the camera equipment. He gets shocked.
Well, it's a mighty Tavi stick that he created. He explains later. So I guess it does have abilities.
And that's just some. It's just like Steve Gerber ain't putting nothing on it. Let's just make this old guy look like the Emperor from Empire.
Gerber's having fun. I mean, this is a fun story.
The problem is, I'm not having fun. Write me a good story, bastard.
Wait, you want it to be fun and good? Aren't you demanding?
And he's down by a quirk of technology. You mean sticking metallics in electric appliances? Yeah, you will be downed by that, idiot. And then, he destroyed all the equipment, so the director or producer, whoever it is getting pissed. You flame brain fanatic, I oughta. And he's being held back by a black man. And in both of these panels, the brother don't say nothing. Okay, this is almost the closest to we get to a brother in a comic book. We'll get to that later. But of course, the black man ain't saying nothing. It's all, forget it. He's just there.
And this is when you can tell that it's Starlin. He's squeezing four vertical panels onto the same tier. So there's not a lot of room for the black guy to say anything, because where would you put the word balloons?
When they curse him out and Rasputin just runs, he says, it'd be foolish for me to expend my energies before the hour of judgment. So I'll be back. In other words, I don't want to get my ass kicked.
Exactly, yeah. He has a backstory. And here's another sign that you're reading a Gerber comic. Because even the lowliest of villains has a backstory. And he was once a college professor. You see him looking slightly younger. He's giving a speech. You see, kids, Tavi will come back and step on us. And one of the students is doing like the crazy finger, you know, whirling around his head thing. Like this guy's a nutbag. And the dean fires him, saying there's enough crackpots in education already, which is, by the way, there you go. There's Steve Gerber making some commentary. And Rasputin's like,
"Hey, Tavi, eat your tongue."
Yeah. And we see that he's made it his life's mission to create something called a Tavi stick. He apparently worships some deity called Tavi. And in the process of trying to create this mystical object, he blows up his own wall. He gets put in jail for the property damage. Then he gets out. The landlord wants to kick his ass.
He's just a loser. He don't have no mystical nothing. He's just a crazy professor. And during the explosion, he had hair before the explosion and after explosion. Is that how he lost his hair?
I guess, in jail? Yeah. It could be just like Lex Luthor. Because what we don't see is between the panels, after he blows up the wall and there's a fire, Superboy comes in and uses his super breath to blow out the fire, but it also like blows off his hair, just like Luthor.
Okay. It said he gets you put in jail because not only blowing up the wall, but he traumatized three old ladies standing outside.
What we are seeing is a work in progress. Steve Gerber is like developing his own unique sense of humor, and some of these jokes are going to fall flat, like that one.
Okay, and Marvel should have let him develop some more before they hired him.
No. This is still way better than any given DC comic that would have come out like the same month.
I disagree. I like those old 70 DC comics now. Okay, so that's how he became Rasputin, which is not much of nothing to me. Oh, sorry.
It's like, yeah, I worship this evil god, and I created this like mystical stick that has yet to actually be able to do anything. But he says, and one day it'll work. The whole world will pay. He's posing.
So he's just a crackpot. Okay. Now we're back at the festivities, and now this artist Fabi, or what's his name? Fabi Fuvnik?
Fivel Fuvnik?
Fivel Fuvnik, okay. This is a phenomenon to me in this comic book. They rarely have black people. Like the black people I just told you about, they had a black man. He was dark-skinned. He didn't say anything. But rarely do I see any black people lighter than the dark brown most comic, like Steel, for instance. You see how he is. All black comic book characters look like him. But especially in the 70s,
I was
very surprised.
I was going to say, I think the original artist on the new Firestorm comic was complaining about that. He wanted the new Firestorm to be a light-skinned black guy, but when it got like printed, he was comic book black, which is only ever that one complexion.
Yes.
And like he tried to explain to the like editors or whoever that like black people come in different complexions, and like the editor was just looking at him like, what?
And that's weird to me that the editors couldn't really think of that, since they see black people. Haven't they ever seen black people and say, oh, there's a darker one, there's a lighter one? Why would that fall flat on anybody's ears?
This has been a problem that's plagued comics throughout the decades, if this comic is any indication.
But that's how you make homogenize something, make a race like, okay, all the Mexicans look alike in comics, all the blacks look alike in comics. But, I mean, you got redheaded white people, blonde white people are taller, skinnier, somehow.
I would say that, for example, Storm should not be the same complexion as Luke Cage and Jessica Jones's baby.
Wait, I guess you could say, yeah, she should be, even though there are lighter blacks in Africa, but I'm not going to get into that. But yeah, exactly. Which now there are progressions, but back then this comic is the early 70s, and this Fivel Fuvnik, he looked like a black man with an afro who has a light complexion.
Reading this, I assumed, especially with a name like Fuvnik, whatever, however you say it, I was going to say I assumed he was Jewish, and that's a Jew-fro.
Okay, I ain't never seen no Jew like this. I don't know what he is. He looks like a brother to me. He looks like a light-skinned brother to me. And if he is a Jew, I say it figures. But
he could be black if you look at his nose and lips. But then you look at the hair and his complexion, and you're confused.
The hair is an afro. You know, it's an afro. There's lighter-skinned brothers who have that kind of afro. That's a mystery to me. But you know what? I'm going to take it that he's black, and I can say that, well, at least there's one comic in the 70s where black people wasn't of one complexion. And this is, and look how he's dressed. He looks like, it looks like he's wearing some kind of dashiki type of thing. And he's got the, whatever this amulet is here. I think he's a black person.
I'm scrolling back up and I'm looking at his outfit and the bell bottoms and the gapey sleeves he's got and everything. And yeah, I'm thinking like he could be like, you know, the lost member of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
And what is he saying? Talk about his art.
Yeah, though its full title is All the Evils of Man, I have nicknamed the statue Fangor. And Rasputin's all pissed off. The stupid toad. He's always calling people toads in this. Soon he'll see evil he cannot conceive. Oh, yeah, because when his tabby stick struck the TV camera, we're supposed to accept that his tabby stick now has magical powers.
Yes.
Somehow.
And now, did Rasputin really know that this is happening, what's going to happen happens, or is he just crazy and he couldn't foresee what's going
to
happen?
Look, he knows because there's only about 20 pages to tell this whole story in.
So this artist unveils the thing. Evil is, now I don't understand what this, evil is problematic, like art. What?
Therefore, it is only reasonable that I should express evil in my art.
What?
And I'd just like to take this opportunity to encourage artists everywhere to express evil through their own art. The world can always use more evil. Oh, yeah, this is the end of part one, so you know the deal. Next time. Oh, wait, yeah, I know I forgot something. Tim Show. Yeah, right. Probably a good idea to plug that. Thumcast.blogspot.com. Yeah, as I've said before, the best podcast on the internet that isn't Podcast X. And on that note...